During the 2007 Earth Day Festival on the Zhangjiajie campus of Jishu University, I tried to teach a song that my boyfriend and I had written about environmental problems. It's called Crime of Consumption. Because the song was quite difficult and complicated to learn at just the first shot, I'm going to explain the meaning of it on this podcast. Why did I leave the city today? From what? From whom do I escape? The first lines just introduce the setting, that the person is living in the city and that there's something unappealing about the city from which they want to escape and leave. Shadows cast with great contrast, I contemplate with hate our fate. So as the person leaves the city and goes into some quieter place, they notice the great contrast between the city and the rural area or the natural area. So it's almost like the difference between a dark shadow and sunlight, showing the great contrast of the shadow. And the person contemplates what is going to happen to the world. The reason there's hate in there is because the person sees the pollution and environmental degradation that is very obvious in the city. And the person feels really frustrated that they feel like they can't do anything about it, and they feel like people are making a mistake with their actions. And basically, the person is very worried about the future. I'm worried about myself, worried about my children, about my grandkids. I feel desperation, I envision the deprivation, the way we ignore the degradation. So not only is this person worried about how the environmental degradation is going to harm himself or herself, but also very worried about the future generations. What kind of world are they going to live in? How much more polluted will it be? How much more scarce will certain resources be? What will the quality of life be like for this person's grandkids? The person feels desperate. They want to find a solution. They wish they could do something. And the part that says, I envision the deprivation, he's basically wondering in the future how deprived of certain luxuries and certain enjoyments people will be. For example, the enjoyment of clean air or the enjoyment of walking through the woods. People will be deprived of those things, and people are deprived of those things more and more. More and more, the way that people ignore environmental degradation. People spend so much time just thinking about what they want, and for example, a car will give them freedom, and they might be very against pollution. They might consider themselves environmentalists, but the interest in getting one's own freedom, one's own car, one's own luxuries seems to surpass the devotion toward protecting the environment. That we cause as massive consumers. Did you make the connection between consumers and tumors? All that we buy times 1,000 is what we've extracted. Then the speaker puts the blame onto us, points a finger at all of us, and say that we are the consumers. We're the ones that make that cause all of this. And not only are we consumers, but we're massive consumers, meaning that it's overconsumption. We buy too much. Then after the pointing the finger, he asks, did you make the connection between consumers and tumors? He's saying, don't you realize that all of this skin cancer and all of these other diseases and problems in our society are because we are consuming things? He's frustrated, so he's not doing it in a really nice way, but he's trying to, like, say, hey, can't you see what you're doing? All that we buy times 1,000 is what we extracted. It means everything that we buy, whether it's a pen or a cell phone or whatever, that maybe a pen is a couple of grams, but it was at least 1,000 grams of wasted material to be able to make that pen. If you trace where the pen came from back to nature, you have to take a lot out of nature to refine it down enough to make the materials to make that pen. If you look at your cell phone, there's a lot of mining involved to get heavy metals or special rare metals out of the rocks, out of the mountains, to be able to smelt it down and process it so that they can make the parts to our phone. So there's all that garbage that's being produced. And among that garbage, there's also a lot of pollution, water pollution and air pollution that comes along with it. One example of water pollution is that during a lot of mining operations, arsenic ends up in the water. And that, of course, causes disease in people and, of course, other wildlife. In terms of air pollution, one example is that there are a lot of factories and there are a lot of a very long process and a chain of factories that that have to be gone through after the mining is complete. And it takes a lot of energy to run those factories. And that energy is by burning fossil fuels. And the burning of fossil fuels, as we know, puts a lot of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere, which causes global warming. To make the things we purchase, that's right. Can you guess, or shall I test, what a mess we face as we chase ways to keep safe or make face to the fall of our own human race? So that's just finishing the sentence from above. To make the things we purchase, we have to take a lot more out of nature. And then the speaker assumes that the reader is going to be very surprised, and he says, yeah, that's right. Can you guess, or shall I do some kind of experiment to test the mess that we're creating? And we're going to face this mess, and we are facing this mess, as we keep searching for ways to be better than everybody else. It says we're chasing ways to save, make, or keep face. So that uses the Chinese idea of keeping face or not losing face. Losing face is Julian. And when we're trying to make a face for ourselves, we're not being totally real. We're not being totally truthful. We're trying to pretend something. We're trying to gain power. We're trying to gain popularity. We're not comfortable with who we are or what we have. We have insecurities inside, and sometimes that makes us try really, really hard to gain the respect of others. And especially in today's society, a way to gain respect is by owning things, by having possessions, by having money, by showing that you have money by buying a lot of things. And the more we join in this race, this contest, to impress people, to impress other people with all of our luxuries, all of the things that we own, the more we're causing our own downfall, and the more we're harming ourselves. Who am I? I'm ashamed to say what luck I was born privileged, but I am torn by the disparity between them and me. At this point, the speaker's feelings are really mixed. The speaker starts pointing a finger at himself or herself. The speaker feels ashamed. The speaker feels ashamed because by chance, the speaker was born into a world of middle-class people. From the moment the speaker was born, he had a lot of things just because his parents had a lot of things. He was born in a hospital with lots of care from lots of medical care, and he had many clothes, he had a lot of food, a lot of toys. And as a child, he grew up using a lot of resources before he really knew what it meant and the consequences of it. He acknowledges and admits that he was born privileged. He was born with a lot more possessions than a lot of people in the world. But the great disparity between the middle class and the poor tears him apart. He feels like it's unfair. It's unfair that he got that privilege and someone else didn't. He feels it's unfair that he got that privilege and used it in his youth. Now that he realizes the pollution and degradation that is caused by having all of those possessions. And then he goes on to begin blaming maybe his parents, or maybe just society. Why are we encouraged to buy these luxuries when they cause so much suffering? Who gave us the right? Oh, who gave us the right? He's saying, what's wrong with society? Why in our society do they encourage us to buy so many luxuries? He thinks it's crazy because consuming so much causes suffering. So why do they encourage us to do it? He feels really guilty right now for how he lived his life. So he's basically angry that society kept telling him, buy things, buy things, buy things. The first time he says, who gave us the right? He blames society for... He said, someone in society is causing us to do this. The second time he said, who gave us the right? He's blaming ourselves, because really, we are the ones that make the decisions. I wanna find a scapegoat and attack it with my blame. But in spending all my time blaming, I've wasted my energy. He wants to find a scapegoat, because he wants to find somebody that he can blame. He doesn't want to be responsible. He doesn't want to be guilty. He doesn't want to deal with the pain of feeling like he is to blame. So he's looking for somebody. But he realizes that by spending all that time blaming somebody else, he's just wasting his time. He's just wasting his energy. What he really needs to do is change himself and do something more positive, do something more constructive. Blaming is not going to do anything positive. It's true, I see much that saddens me, mostly centered on self-absorption and greed. Now he kind of starts thinking about what is the root of the problem. And the first thing that he thinks about is that people are really self-absorbed. people are so focused on themselves that they don't pay enough attention to the things around them. People are generally pretty self-centered, and also greedy. They think about what's best for themselves. It's pretty natural for most animals. Manifestations of prejudice, racial, gender, egotistical, ecological. Then he mentions that in people's greed and self-absorption, they hold a lot of prejudice. Sometimes the prejudice is based on race. Sometimes the prejudice is based on gender. Sometimes it's just based on, I'm better than everybody else. And sometimes, and actually I'm not really sure how to explain what I mean by ecological prejudice, so I'll stay away from that. But basically he's just pointing out a lot of major problems in our world and saying that there's so much prejudice or so much hatred that really affects different races, the difference between men and women and how they're treated in society, how one person treats other people, and how nature is treated. A monk once told me that at the root of all evil is selfishness. I said maybe so sometimes, but at the root of that is insecurity. I have sympathy and hope to free my dream for peace and security. This part actually comes from a conversation I had with a person who is very strongly Buddhist, who told me that the root of all evil is selfishness. And in Buddhism, I think one of the principles is to eliminate one's selfishness. I disagreed with that person, and because I think that although selfishness causes a lot of problems, I don't think it's the root. I think there's something that's deeper than that, and I think it's insecurity. I don't believe there's one human nature that says that being selfish is better than sharing, and that we all have that kind of feeling innately. But I do believe that people can all feel insecure at one time or another, or many times, or almost all the time. Even people who seem confident all the time are really insecure about themselves, at least sometimes. And when we lose our confidence, we don't act in the ways that we would really want to. Sometimes we try to overcompensate for that, for our lack of confidence. And by doing so, we end up doing selfish things or things that hurt others. The speaker, knowing that he himself has done such things and felt insecure and acted in ways that he's not happy with, he has sympathy and hope and a dream. He has sympathy because he's understanding. Although it's something that he doesn't like, he understands why people can be selfish, why it comes to that. But he himself has been freed of that kind of selfishness, and so he has hope. He believes that it's possible for other people to also come to that. And so his dream is that people think about the way they live and really decide to live in a way that they are proud of. And he believes that if that dream comes true, then the world will be a peaceful place, and people will feel more secure. And the other living things in nature will also be more secure. Volunteer your time, your skills, your ideas. We all have the ability to care through our activity. What you say and to whom you speak, you choose what you do with your free hours. Don't deprive yourself of these powers. Volunteer your time, your skills, your ideas. We all have the ability to care through our activities. What you say and to whom you speak, you choose what you do with your free hours. Don't deprive yourself of these powers. Finally, the speaker asks everybody to volunteer their time, to use their skills, and to think of ideas of how we can do a better job and take care of our earth, or just basically cause less suffering or make our society better. We all have the ability. He said, don't say that you can't do anything, because you can. We all can. We're all capable of caring, and we're all capable of some activity. But we have to pick our battles. There are some things that we certainly can't do, some things that one person does not have the power to do, but there are certainly things that we can do. So instead of giving up, let's do the things that we can do. One thing that we can do is be conscious of what we care about. And that way, when we speak and what we say will be a kind of education to others. For example, I know that many of my students are afraid to bring their own bag when they go grocery shopping. You know, they're afraid, they're embarrassed. They're afraid, oh, it's different, so maybe somebody will laugh at me if I do this. But they can do it. If they do it and they talk about it, and they're not insecure about it, then they're living in a way that they care about, if they care about environmental problems. And by talking about it, that's education. People get more used to the idea, and over time, it won't seem like such a strange thing. If more people are doing it, then it's not so different anymore. 24 hours a day, we're doing something, whether we're sleeping or eating or talking to people or buying things. A lot of things that we can do for environmental protection are really simple and really convenient. It's just the psychology that is an obstacle for many things. Feeling shy, not feeling confident, feeling insecure. But don't let those fears deprive you of your powers. You can do something, so don't deprive yourself of being able to do it because of fear. Why did I leave the city today? From what, from whom do I escape? Can you answer me now? So why did the author leave the city? The author left the city because the city depresses him. The city has so many reminders of environmental degradation and pollution that he just doesn't want to see it. He wants to get away. So he wants to escape the polluted air, the concrete streets, the concrete buildings. He wants to escape from dealing with it too. He just wants to go somewhere where he doesn't have to worry about it anymore. But maybe that's not a solution either. If he doesn't have to worry about it anymore, that doesn't mean that the problem is gone. The problem is still there. It can't disappear so easily. Lastly, he asks all of the listeners to answer that question and to just think about the whole issue. He's pointing a finger at everybody again and come on, guys, let's think about this. Don't just be so apathetic. Think about it and tell me how you really feel. And if you feel that protecting the environment is strong, if you feel strongly about protecting the environment, then let's do something about it.